welcome to episode 453 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Josh, happy Prime Day.
Yeah, it's been... It's put a little bit of a hurting on my wallet, but for good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, you get some good stuff. You get some presents for yourself.
Yeah, actually, maybe. Anybody who's been in our live chat, especially last week, probably knew that I was on the hunt for a new tablet. And one of the ones that I was considering and finally made my decision on. Also, I was going to buy it regardless, but it also just happened to go on sale on Prime Day. So while everybody else couldn't get to Prime yesterday afternoon,
yeah,
I could. Right. And picked up a Samsung Galaxy Tab 3. Oh, gosh. I'm going to screw it up. I think Samsung Galaxy Tab S3, I think is the name of it. Samsung. Killing it with the product titles. It's awesome, though. I am loving this tablet.
Cool. Those are beautiful tablets. And I have looked at the Samsung tablets because I really need a full-size Android testing device. I don't have one, but I don't want to spend Samsung money on an Android tablet. So, yeah, it's been a little bit challenging. I did, however, spend, I think, more money than you on my Prime Day excursion today, which was not really a big deal. There was a little bit of a discount available on the My Smart Blinds kits if you bought the kit that included the charger in addition to the actual mechanism. And so I bought three of those. The problem was that the discount was only usable once.
Oh.
So... I ended up paying the normal bundle price, which is still cheaper than buying everything separately, but I need them because I'm going to be getting new blinds for the front of the house, and that's the side of the house that really gets the heat during the day. So they need to be able to close and open on their own without me having to go in there every single day because, I know, first world problems. Sorry. Obnoxious.
Nah. Well, cool. So there is a slight media angle to my tablet purchase. This Galaxy Tab S3 or whatever it is has an HDR screen. So I was watching some HDR Netflix on it right before the show started to test it out, of course.
Of course.
This is purely educational research for the show.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's important. Absolutely. Yeah.
It looked great. All right, let's get into the actual guts of the show. The actual guts of last week's show was basically just us replying to listener Robert, who had tons of great questions and thoughts on Xbox and the Xbox One and how it's all gone. And we spent a ton of time talking about it, and I think it was well received to the point where Robert sent us another message and said, "Hey guys, awesome response to my email last week. I appreciate that even when we didn't agree, you gave an actual valid reason why instead of just telling me I'm wrong." You're wrong, Robert. To answer your parting question, I don't feel like there are games that I'm missing out on. Quite the opposite. When my backlog is 100 plus games right now, I feel like I was sold on a vision that sounded like a multimedia utopia, and it's been all but scrapped. If I'd never glimpsed heaven, I'd be fat, dumb, and happy now. So there you go. I think we are in complete agreement on that point.
Yeah, you know, I really like that he got back with us. I think that's important. And I like that we can have some dialogue about this. The one thing that I do want to have, not that I'm trying to have the last word here, but all of the stuff that they sold us on certainly didn't come through, but we still have a pretty good multimedia device.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. In fact, it's a pretty good multimedia device that's about to get even better.
Oh, I saw what you did there.
Yeah, thanks for ruining the segue, Richard. Yeah, so the Xbox One, since the Xbox One S was released now almost 2 years ago, right? Yeah.
It was Christmas a year and a half ago.
No, it was like August 2 years ago.
Oh, right. It was mine was Christmas a year and a half ago.
Right. Yeah. Because it was the Xbox One X that launched last year. So the S came out in 2016, in August, I believe. And that featured a 4K UHD Blu-ray drive and the ability to display content in 4K, including HDR10. And HDR is fantastic. You and I both agree HDR is the thing with this. I don't know if we call it generations of TVs. It's way more important than 4K resolution. But HDR10 is just, it's like the baseline, right? It's the standard that basically everybody supports. And it looks good, but the cream of the crop when it comes to HDR, high dynamic range video, is Dolby Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't had that. In fact, it's kind of hard to find boxes that actually support Dolby Vision. But the Xbox One is getting it soon. The Insider Preview Ring now has a version of the Xbox OS available to those. I think this is still Alpha Ring only. So bleeding edge testers that have support for Dolby Vision HDR. Now it's currently limited to just working inside of the Netflix app. And I kind of had a hard time figuring out which Netflix HDR content was Dolby Vision and which was just HDR10. Partly because I don't have a way to test this. I've got an HDR TV, one that even supports Dolby Vision, but I'm not on that particular Insider Ring. And right. I think the Netflix app inside of the Xbox would show the Dolby Vision logo, but only if you had that version of the app, and I don't.
Exactly. And it's smart enough that it only shows you the capabilities that you can render.
Right.
So if your setup is not able to do HDR, it's not going to show you that it's available in Dolby Vision. I really like how Netflix has set that up. I'm really surprised it's not also available in Vudu, because Vudu was really the first to bring Dolby Vision to these platforms.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't think about Vudu. They've got tons of Dolby Vision content. It seems like they have more stuff in Dolby Vision than what they list as just regular HDR. They've got tons of Dolby Vision content. So, yeah, that would be really nice if they jump on board next. Now, this news came out, like the day we released the last episode. So, of course. And then shortly thereafter, some other sites like CNET and Windows Central were reporting that Microsoft was saying that Dolby Vision support would definitely be coming to UHD Blu-ray disc this fall. Well, some other sites, this one comes from flatpanelshd.com, is reporting today, like this is just hours old, that Microsoft is now saying that Dolby Vision on UHD Blu-ray, the statements about that were wrong. The company has nothing to share regarding disc compatibility at this time.
Ugh.
So, like, a lot of people on the Twitterverse and stuff are saying, well, they're backtracking again. This is what we're used to with Microsoft. They're always backtracking. You remember when the Xbox One was announced? Backtrack, backtrack, backtrack. I don't think that's what this is. You know, like, Microsoft never actually said they were going to do this. You can't backtrack from something you didn't say, right? So, I mean,
yeah, I mean,
because the other stuff was leaks, like supposed leaks.
Right, right. Well, so this is good. This is good that this is coming out. This will happen eventually. I mean, they have to make this available eventually just to remain competitive. The Apple TV devices are going to get Dolby Vision and Atmos this fall when they get the new, I wanted to say iOS, but the new tvOS update that is scheduled for those devices. And I can't imagine that they would roll it out only to the apps and not to their own Blu-ray playback. Now, you might remember that Blu-ray playback, and in particular UHD Blu-ray playback, was problematic initially. They had some issues with it. So maybe they just want to make sure they get this right so that they don't have pie on their face.
Yeah, that would be real nice. Well, and there were HDR issues with UHD Blu-ray right. for a long, long time.
Right.
So, yeah, they really want to make sure they get this right this time, because Dolby Vision is what everybody's been wanting. And if they can do it in Netflix, I can't think of any reason why they wouldn't be able to do it in the Blu-ray player. So, yeah, I would guess that it probably is going to come this fall. They're just not ready to announce it yet.
Yep, I would agree.
All right, let's move on to some other video news. We talk a lot about video. How about a new one? Maybe one from Walmart. And that might sound crazy, but I think it only sounds crazy if you don't remember that Walmart is the company that owns Vudu.
Right. Well, how do you not remember that? I mean, they have a streaming video service already.
Yes, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about a rent or own system here. We're talking about a subscription service like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video, or whatever the heck it is that Amazon calls their video service nowadays, or Hulu, or things like that. We're talking subscription, go and watch as much as you want of whatever you want. Now, this is all being reported by The Information. It's all rumor right now. It's all just they're saying that Walmart is in talks to do this, but it kind of makes sense that they're kind of going in this direction, partly because they own Vudu and because it seems like Walmart's whole goal in life right now is to outdo Amazon in anything that Amazon is doing. So right after they launch this video streaming service, then they're going to announce their cloud platform for developers, I'm sure. And then, yeah, no, probably not. But they're already doing so many things that Amazon is doing just to try and keep up with Amazon and not get completely run out of the retail space. That
always goes so well, trying to keep up with what some other company is doing. I just don't understand this. You know, I don't want yet another service to have to remember which one has the video. And the new service is less likely to be cross-indexed on those devices that do have like aggregated content services available to you, like the Roku and other devices. I think this is a bad, bad idea. Oh, and by the way, it's one more thing you're going to pay for. And so it's if anything, watering down the pool of content, because now there are other options. Walmart wants to get in and they're going to want to get content. So they're going to probably take deals that other providers won't, right? Like they're going to probably make this suite for the content providers.
Right.
And that means that it's likely that some good content is going to end up moving off of other services to go there. The same way that we've seen so much stuff move from Netflix to Amazon, or Amazon to Hulu, or Hulu to Amazon, because right. whoever's making the best deal is where the content is going to go. And this yep. means if you want access to it all, it's one more thing to subscribe to.
Yes. And I don't think there's a whole lot of people that are doing all of that. You're the big obvious exception. You just subscribe to everything. But this could be cheaper. Like they could sell this, and the rumors suggest that they would come in at prices lower than all of those competitors that you just mentioned. And
it could be
for a certain type of viewer, that might be good enough. Like if they have tons of kids content, that's going to be enough for a lot of people. They'll be like, it's $6 a month for this Walmart service that has everything my kids want to watch, or I can pay $9 a month for Netflix. Why am I doing that? I'll just switch to this Walmart one. But the problem really, I think the other big problem starts to come in with all of the exclusives. I mean, we already have that problem, right? If you want to watch Orange is the New Black or Marco Polo or, you know, trying to think of other big Netflix. Stranger Things, that's the best one to pick, right? Stranger Things is the one that everybody loves right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can only watch it on Netflix. So now I have to have Netflix if I want to watch Stranger Things. But if I want to watch Handmaid's Tale, I have to have Hulu. And is Walmart going to be able to sign up some huge, big name show like that to be able to pull people over? Because I think just having leftovers from some of these other guys isn't really going to cut it, except for the people who are like, oh, it's got a bunch of kid stuff. It's good enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time seeing this. And then there's also speculation that there might be an ad-supported tier. And if they're doing that in any way similar to the way that they've implemented it on Vudu, that's a friggin' disaster. So, I mean, that's the other thing. That's the other problem that I have with this whole concept is that I don't like the Vudu experience. The Vudu interfaces are usually clunky. They require constant reauthentication. They are often designed to steer you toward the stuff you have to buy instead of toward your own library of content. So it's like they're trying to trick you into things. Their free ad-supported stuff just throws random ads at random times in the that have nothing to do with any reasonable breaks in the program. And half the time, it's ads for the free ad-supported Vudu service. So, yeah, it's got to get better. It's got to get better.
Well, we'll see. I kind of don't. I don't think that ad-supported thing is going to happen. I think that if ad-supported was a model that worked, we would have seen somebody else do it by now. And it just doesn't in this space, I think. So we'll see. I kind of hope this doesn't happen because, like I said, the content issues are a problem. Getting apps out there is a problem. And they don't have a history of making good apps. So, yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, one group that has made good apps historically are the folks that made My Movies. Remember My Movies?
Oh, yeah.
My Movies was the platform for managing your movie library on Media Center and on lots of other devices. And we've talked about it occasionally because it's still out there. And there are now Mac and PC versions that allow you to use it more as a library management tool, which is really valuable for people who still have digital libraries that they want to manage. Well, they have posted something to their business Facebook page, basically what I would call a plea to the community for people who are still using the tool to please, please, please don't forget to submit information about discs when you're registering with the system if the information isn't there. One of the things that I loved about the whole system that My Movies had was that it would pull all of that data in and you had all this cross-reference data about the movies. And it wasn't just like the IMDb version or the MovieDB version, which often like gets the wrong language or whatever. It was really good, solid metadata. And a lot of it came right off of the binders themselves, because that's what they were advising people to do, is take information off of the binders if you can. So what they found is that as disk usage has subsided, even though people are still using My Movies, people are not really entering information for movies that they're acquiring. So they're just kind of sending out a reminder that if you are using the service, please consider submitting data for the movies if it looks like the movie data is not complete, or if you're maybe registering a movie that is brand new and doesn't have an entry out there. They note that their current submissions are less than 2.5% of the overall users, which is really low because they used to have a very high participation rate in this. And they've also noted that they're still around. Like, people are still using it. They had something like 300,000 users over the last couple of months, discrete users that are still using the system. And they've noted that other competitors, if you will, are kind of dropping out of the game. So they're picking them up, actually. And that's been a good thing. So if you're a My Movies user And this is something that is kind of still in your collection and a part of your entertainment center habit, then I would suggest helping them out there.
Yeah. You know, that 2.5% participation rate or whatever you would want to call that, that doesn't to me seem like it's actually that low. Like when I think about other like games do this a lot where like people put out a game that's really about building games and then sharing those levels and stuff like that. In systems like that, the percentage of people making the content usually is really small. So 2.5% doesn't seem that small to me, but I guess if it has dramatically decreased from what it initially was, then that's a problem.
And I think part of the thing was that this was such an enthusiast tool that you had people that were really, you know, eager to help out the community contribution model.
Yeah. Okay. Well, our next topic is something that I'm thinking that Richard just absolutely loves using and is probably going to do it as soon as we get off of here. And it's Plex, but it's not just regular Plex. It's Plex in VR. Richard loves him some VR.
That's so not happening.
So we talked about Plex VR a couple of months ago when it first came out, but they've made it a little bit better because one of the probably the coolest thing about Plex VR, because I did actually try this out. The coolest thing is their watch together feature. So you and I, if we both had VR headsets, could be watching the same thing together in VR, like, you know, you at your house, me at my house. And in that little VR environment, you would have a little avatar sitting on the couch next to me. And that's cool. Like,
Is it cool? It strikes me as so sad and dystopian.
I think it's kind of fun. I think, like, it's not how I want to watch every movie, but it's kind of fun. And so that's there, and that's been there since they announced the VR stuff. But what they're announcing today is that it's now cross-platform. One of the unfortunate things about any new technology, which I would toss VR into still, because I wouldn't call it established at this point, is there's a lot of different players. And so now, if you've got like Gear VR, the Samsung version, or an Oculus Go, it works on both of them. And if your friend has the opposite system from you, you can still do watch together, even cross-platform.
That's cool.
Yeah. The other cool thing that they're doing is virtual surround sound for headphone users. So it's not exactly new technology, but it's one, you know, we've talked about it a lot here because of the added technologies in Windows 10 that support this. The Dolby Atmos for headphones and, gosh, what is the... Is it just called like Windows Spatial Sound or something like that?
Yeah, whatever the Windows version of that is. And they have it on Xbox too.
Yeah, Windows Sonic, that's what it's called. So, you know, this type of stuff is nice. It does definitely enhance your listening experience. And so now they're doing that inside of Plex also. Now, both of these features, the Watch VR and the Virtual Surround Sound, do require Plex Pass. But I did a little bit of digging to do the watch together thing. Like, I've got Plex Pass. Let's say Richard didn't. He does, of course. But let's say he didn't. That would be okay. He could still do watch together with me. As long as one person in the group has a Plex Pass, that's all that you need. So get your buddies together. Just not in the same room because you don't need to be, right? And do some VR watching movies together and let us know how it goes.
So weird.
If anybody actually does this, I want to hear about it. Send us, use the Absolutely. Contact form. I want to hear about it. Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, next up, a couple of weeks ago, I was out in New York City for a client meeting. And one of the things that I did while I was there was I attended an event called PC Week. PC Week is basically like Showstoppers, which you may recall we end up talking about around CES time, because there's a Showstoppers event at CES where all these vendors come and show their wares in a smaller venue than the crazy environment that you have on the CES floor. And so CE Week is kind of a small New York City version of that, put on by the same people. And when I was there, one of the people that I ran into was Ted Head from Silicon Dust. So, of course, I had to ask about the Six Tuner Prime. And he has some news for us.
Awesome. So we're going to play that interview for you guys now. It's just a few minutes long. So here we go.
Here at CE Week again in New York. And we're talking with, I guess I like to call you friend of the show, Ted Head, the head of HD Home Run Silicon Dust. Silicon Dust has brought us numerous HD Home Run products that we talk about all the time on the show. And of course, I run the HD Home Run Prime, the first generation HD Home Run Prime, in my attic, driving my Plex, driving what was once my media center. It's still connected, but I don't actually use it. And now when we spoke with you at CES, you were showing off a new Prime, a new improved form factor, and the fabled six-tuner solution that we've heard about for so long. We're pretty close, right?
We are very close. So, you know, we mentioned mid-year at CES. Mid-year, if you look at a calendar, still, you know, we have it through the end of August to still meet those kind of dates. Still looking at it. It's always dangerous when you tell dates to anybody, especially press or bloggers or anybody else, because then they hold you to it and they hold you to the fire. But we're working very hard and fast to get this done. We want it more than anybody else, and we have so many fans of the HD Home Run Prime. And it is our flagship. We're very few people out there that actually give you cable card and give you the ability to do protected content streaming through the home. This new six-tuner device gives you the full access of a full cable card that gives you the full six streams. We'll be able to do recordings, do all of that. We're working hard and fast on all the DRM support, adding the Android support next. We already have Windows 10, iOS out there now for viewing. Android's next, and then, of course, recording and playback will be coming soon after that. Whether it's going to be with the launch or not, you know, we don't know that for sure, but the fact is the product's coming out very, very soon. Engineering's working hard and fast away. And the reality of it being a real product, you know, tells you what's going on at CE Week here. We've been announced as the best in show, and there'll be more information on that, you know, coming up, but we are best in show for the HD Home Run Prime 6, the 6-tuner. So it wouldn't be a real product if it wasn't best in show. So something's definitely coming. We stay kind of quiet on it on social media and other places, but that's for a reason, because we have to be very cautious not to overextend what, you know, the possibilities of it are, but we're excited about it.
Sure. And as a reminder, this is a product that, like I said, you can use it with Media Center, you can use it with Plex, you can use it with the Channels app, in addition to your own DVR solution that you can run in your own home for just, how much was that again?
Only $35 per year for the entire household. So you can have unlimited users, unlimited number of tuners. You can mix and match between over-the-air and cable. And remember that the protected content side of it is only going to be with our application. Unless others get the protected, you know, the DTCIP, the cable lab certs, all of that, if you want to do the full protected content streaming and recording and playback in the future, it has to be with the HD Home Run app, because we've paid all that money. And that's, you know, it will be available for any copy freely content to our partners like Plex and Channels. But as far as the protected content, will be through our application.
All right. Well, good to see that this is still happening, that we are on schedule with this. I love the form factor of this. This thing is probably, I don't know, you could probably melt them down and fit four of those in my existing Prime that I have. And I had the same experience when I replaced my original HD Home Run box with the HD Home Run Connect Duo. The way technology changes and shrinks and improves over time, it's amazing. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for coming by.
All right. Awesome interview. So I guess that means soon for the six card cable card tuner.
I thought it was really funny. So he's looking at mid-year being the middle 4 months of three segments of a year, right? So he has till the end of the eighth month to get that out on time. I'm really looking forward to this. I know that I will be switching to it when it comes right. out. I absolutely right. plan to switch to it.
Yeah, there would be no reason for you not to.
Yeah, I think I've probably gotten my money's worth out of my original HD Home Run Prime.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, another great interview. So let's move on to some audio news. This is a little bit different. Some people might remember back at CES, we talked about Roku working with TCL on some speaker stuff. It looks like that partnership is not happening, but instead, Roku is releasing their own wireless speakers. And I know when I hear the phrase wireless speakers, I think Sonos or like some of these assistant type speakers. And that is not right. What this is. This is in some ways a lot more useful than that. These are speakers for your TV, specifically for any TV that has Roku built into it. Now, the downside to any TV that is produced nowadays is the sound is terrible. As TVs get thinner and thinner, the speakers get worse and worse and worse. So Roku knows this, and that's why soundbars and stuff like that exist. But some of that stuff is just complicated. So Roku is announcing a new set of wireless speakers. It's basically a stereo pair. It looks like bookshelf speakers, and that's a good thing, I think. And apparently, they sound like bookshelf speakers, which is also generally a good thing. Pretty decent highs and lows, but way better lows than you're going to get from your TV itself, that is for sure. And because they're separate speakers, you get lots of stereo separation as long as you, you know, move them away from each other like you should. And they're wireless. So this is dirt simple to set up. Like, you just plug in the AC power cord into your wall, and then it uses their Roku Connect technology to wirelessly connect to your TV directly. And it also has Bluetooth, so you could pair your phone up or whatever. But, you know, whatever. That's just kind of table stakes for any wireless speaker nowadays. But what I think is really, really, really important about this, that I think a lot of people wouldn't even think to ask, is it supports any source. So it's not only going to work from the Roku app on the TV. If you've got a cable box plugged into your TV or a Blu-ray player or an Xbox or something like that, all of that audio is going to go out to these speakers. And that's not something that you would necessarily assume. Like, we're used to audio return channel and, you know, things like that where it's like, well, you can then connect an optical, that's not an audio return channel thing, but like, think about the people who connect optical audio from their TV to a receiver. Optical supports 5.1, and your TV will do it only if you're playing from an antenna that's plugged into your TV. It won't pass down the 5.1 audio if it's from an HDMI connected device and that sort of craziness. You don't have to deal with any of this. It's just simple and just works and supposedly sounds pretty good. It also comes with an extra Roku voice remote and another remote, really, that they're calling their touch controller that has volume buttons and media control buttons that's meant to just sit on the table and stay on the table. So you're getting a couple of remotes. If you pre-order it right now, like really right now, within the next couple of weeks, you can get the pair for $150. After next week, that pre-order price goes up to $180. And then when it actually launches October 15th, the pair of speakers will set you back $200.
This is such an odd product. It is kind of a category that nobody else is doing, right? Like, here is this wireless speaker set that you can use with any brand television that is built on the Roku platform. But it supports more than just Roku. It'll support everything that goes through the TV, but it won't support anything like your Roku device that's connected to your own TV. It's such a weird hybrid product. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around it. And I have to wonder, like, what their motivation was, except that, as you said, the audio quality of so many of these TVs is getting worse and worse. to the point that you can actually hear like vibrations of your frame with certain frequencies, right? Like it's really bad on some units. And we know that a lot of the Roku-based televisions are really kind of bargain basement TVs for smart TVs.
Yep. Yeah, and I think that's where this makes the most sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you're buying a $3,000 OLED, you probably already have a good audio solution. You're probably not planning to listen to the TV speakers.
Right.
And if you're buying a $3,000 OLED, even if you don't have a good audio solution, you're going to buy something that's more than this $200 set of speakers. So, yeah, I think this makes total sense. And as Roku just continues to expand into more and more TV manufacturers, it's just going to become more and more available. And if my memory is working correctly, I don't think Roku's planning to just lock this down to themselves. I think they're planning to allow other speaker manufacturers to produce these speakers. So we could even end up seeing, you know, higher end speakers that maybe cost even more or not, or maybe are just different form factors. Maybe you just see sound bars with this stuff built in. That's what TCL was supposedly working on. And then ideally, and maybe this gets out of the price range of their target market, but ideally a couple of more wireless speakers to put at the sides for surround sound.
Well, right. Proper surround sound. That's the thing that I'm wondering is, well, what if you want more than just stereo, right? Like what if you want a subwoofer? What if you want to have some sort of surround configuration, even if it's not true 5.1, something that would allow you to get a better sound field.
Right. Exactly.
All right, cool. Well, next up, we have actually another interview from CE Week, and this was with a company called Antlion Audio. Now, Antlion Audio makes microphones. We don't talk about microphones very often here, but we do in the context of maybe gaming. And so this is a good transition, actually, as our last audio topic, and the next topic is gaming. They have a product called ModMic that is designed to attach to your own stereo headphones. And it's a high quality mic that you can then kind of piggyback on top of your headphones so that when you're gaming, if you have a headset that you really like, or if you're on conference calls and you have a headset that you really like, or a set of headphones rather that you really like, maybe you have studio headphones and you just don't want to use like the crap mic attachment that is available to them, this is a really good alternative, and it's not too expensive either. So let's go ahead and play that audio now.
I'm at CE Week in New York City, and we are in the Antlion Audio booth. I'm talking with Joseph, and he is the director of marketing here. What caught my attention at this booth is a product called ModMic. Now, the ModMic is designed to attach to an existing set of headphones, so you can basically have your own microphone hooked onto the headphones you already love for all kinds of purposes. I'm really excited about this. Tell us a little bit about the product, the benefits, and how we got here.
Let's start with actually how we got here, right? We have a good origin story because we're a Portland, Oregon-based company. You've seen the show Portlandia. We're like those guys. We started off in a spare bedroom making microphones by hand, like pouring plastic molds the whole nine yards.
Not a garage, a bedroom.
Yeah, a bedroom. That's how we roll. They did that for 2 years. Well, I'd like to say we, but I wasn't part of the company then. I came a little later. But the founder and the CEO used to do this by hand and couldn't keep up with the demand. By 2014, we went to mass production, finally. Yes, in China. That's where you have to go for mass production. But we went to mass production in 2014, and since then, we have never had any debt. We've never had any of those venture capitalists getting in our way. We are a pure company that focuses on one thing and one thing only. It's not headphones, it's microphones, right? And we want to deliver the best customer experience you can imagine, from start of buying the product and having a good quality product to any problems you have. You can jump on our Discord and have live help.
Nice. So you've made microphones in the past. What prompted you to come up with an add-on mic? Because a lot of headsets that you can buy in the market today specifically those for gaming or other purposes, have microphones built in?
So what we found was every company that makes a headset tends to think of the microphone as the last piece of the device just kind of slapped on there. It's not really a big consideration to have a microphone that has the quality. You could use it to do live streaming, or you could use it to do a podcast and actually sound like you're in a real studio. The founder, the actual reason the Mod Mic came to be, was he had a pair of Bose QC25s. So this is a little bit earlier than the current QC35s. But he had a pair of QC25s he really liked, and he wanted to use it for gaming, but their inline mic is so bad, it just sounded like crap. And he's like, why can't I just attach a mic to this thing that's good? And that's how we came about. That was the impetus behind the invention of the Mod Mic.
Very cool. And for gaming, maybe you're not too concerned about how you might end up sounding, but nowadays people are streaming their game experience, and they want to sound better because that's actually part of what they're sharing with people who are watching or their audience.
That is true, absolutely. But I also think people do care about how they sound when they game, right? You don't really want to sound like crap. You don't want a lot of background noise. You don't want to sound like you're talking in a bathroom, even if you are. You don't want to sound like you're just talking in a tin can, right? You want to sound like you, right? And you want to be able to communicate clearly with your teammates. You don't want somebody missing a call because you are, you know, your microphone craps out every time you talk because you're always peaking the audio or it just doesn't pick up very well. So we want to create the best possible experience. And let's be clear, when you buy a microphone, you're not buying it for yourself, right? You're buying it for all your friends and all those other people that are going to be hearing you. So to do them a service, you buy our mic.
So I need to get this for everybody that I ever have conference calls with.
That's correct, yeah. Which brings up the other side of the thing. We started in gaming, so that's what we've been talking about. But we're used in businesses now, too. So in the gaming world, because we started in gaming, we start with gaming businesses. We're used in the offices of Bungie, Valve, Discord, you know, in all the corporate offices of these gaming companies where we've become sort of this go-to microphone solution for making important calls because you want to sound professional in your workplace. So a lot of home offices, that kind of thing, we're seeing a big pickup of products there.
You mentioned that you don't want to be capturing background noise. I know that I have kind of a cheap knockoff of a Countryman mic that I use occasionally for discussions on site, sometimes at events like this, but it picks up everything. So what kind of mic is that? I mean, obviously you have directional capability, but I thought it did more than that.
It is a passive noise canceling system. It's a unidirectional cardioid pattern. The way I understand it, and I am not an engineer, so excuse me if this is incorrect in some way, but the more you can filter out the frequency response range, the more you can filter out the noise. But in doing so, you decrease the quality, right? So for everybody, there's like a happy medium where you are filtering out enough noise, but not decreasing the quality. And we think we've hit that pretty well, right? So you get a good quality and you have good noise canceling. You could have better noise canceling and worse quality, or worse noise canceling and better quality. But what's nice about the Mod Mic 5 is that we have an omnidirectional mode and a unidirectional mode built into this single mic unit. So you can switch on the fly. You're somewhere noisy like this conference, and you are in unidirectional mode, of course. You go home, you're recording a segment at home, adding in some details. You switch over to omni mode, you sound much better. And it's really that simple. You're a gamer, you go to a LAN event, you want noise canceling, you're at home, it's nice and quiet, you're in the omni mode. The kids come home, you switch back to uni mode.
All right, this is a wired solution. So you sell it with a kit that includes all the adapters to have a mute switch and a long extension. I think it's like 2 meters long.
3 meters long.
3 meters long. Okay, I was corrected there. Brass tacks, where do I get this and how much does it cost?
Brass tacks, where you get it is you get the Mod Mic 4 or 5 primarily from our website or Amazon, although we're also available in Micro Center here on the East Coast. It starts at $43 for the Mod Mic 4 and goes up to $70 for the Mod Mic 5. Now, you mentioned we are a wired solution, but coming up this year, we have a wireless product that will be launching in time for the holidays.
All right, good stuff. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
All right, that's a cool product and actually something... I had not heard of that particular company prior to you speaking with them, but I've heard of other gamers using things like this. Like, there are gamers that do actually care how good the microphone is on the gear that they're using, because he wasn't messing around. Like, if your microphone is terrible, then that does impact your game if you're playing a team-based game with other people.
Sure.
So from a gaming perspective, that is kind of a big deal for some people. Obviously, yeah. Not everybody.
Yeah, but. I want to know who's gaming out of their bathroom, though. That's a different thing. But yeah, so I mean, what's really interesting, you know, we talk about the idea of directional versus kind of omnidirectional, and the importance of that can't be understated.
Mm-hmm.
As I was interviewing him, you know, you and I have these very, very good directional Sennheiser mics that we use when we're in the field to do interviews. And while I was interviewing him, I was so distracted because his marketing director or like one of his other marketing guys, rather, he's the marketing director, was standing right next to him talking to someone behind us, talking louder than he was. And I could barely keep focused on the conversation, but you didn't even hear that on a directional mic. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the power of having a really good directional mic if you are in a noisy environment, and then the ability to switch it just on the fly to pick up a broader range of audio around you is great. Now, we actually have one of these that we'll get to test out. And I was thinking of maybe using it for the show, but I knew it would make the show sound very different, and
right.
I didn't necessarily want to mess with that. But yeah, this is something we'll get to try out, and you're probably the logical candidate to be doing that.
You know, the people that I game with would probably love that, because you know, you make a great example from a show floor, but other people are thinking, well, how does that impact me when I'm gaming? Like, I'm not gaming in a crowded conference center. No, but here's a great example. I was playing a video game two nights ago in my living room. I'm the only one in my living room, and the two guys that I'm chatting with online say, "Man, that was a heck of a motorcycle that just drove past you." And I'm like, "What are you talking?" Like, I barely even heard the motorcycle, but they were like, "Yeah, it was super loud for us because the directionality on my microphone is apparently not very good. And if I had something like this, they probably wouldn't have heard the motorcycle at all. Instead, they would just be hearing me."
That's funny. Well, and you know, you and I have had calls in the past when we've been just doing calls and you're not using your studio mic for the call and you're using a headset, and you do get just all this noise around you.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. So good stuff. And
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be able to hear more about this after you have a chance to check it out.
Cool. All right. So that does transition us into our gaming stuff. The latest insider update, we already talked about the biggest part of it, and that of course is the Dolby Vision HDR stuff. A couple of other just quick things to hit on that Microsoft is working on with the Xbox One software. Some additions to the narrator capability. This is obviously an accessibility thing where the Xbox can verbally describe the interface to you. They're including new languages now: Spanish, Portuguese, Polish, Swedish, and Dutch. And this one, this is something I'd never even considered before. They're adding an Australian version of English to the narrator so that Australian users don't have to just pick between US English and UK English.
That makes a lot of sense, actually.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense.
You know, I know that this is kind of odd probably, but my Siri voice is an Australian bloke. It's not the typical Siri woman.
Huh.
You know, so I think that that's cool that you can get that if that's what you prefer.
Right. Yeah. Very nice. And then the other one, because we talked about this previously, they're working on all of this new cool avatar stuff where you can have really neat and really customizable avatars. And what we kept saying was, that's cool, but where am I going to see them? Well, they heard us. They heard us, Richard, and decided to rush out some functionality. That must be one of those.
It was us that they were listening to.
Yeah, 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 obviously. And I'll just read directly from the post. It says, "You'll be greeted by avatars across user profiles, friend blocks on home, gamer score comparisons, community post, idle system notifications, and more. So they're spattering this stuff all over the place. And I think that's great news, as long as it's done well, I suppose. But yeah, I want to see the avatars. It's fun. It's way more fun than just a flat two-dimensional picture. I want to see the avatars. All right, that's it for that. So I feel like such flip-flopper here. Two episodes ago, I said, hold off on buying games, guys, because they're probably going to do a big, huge summer sale any day now. And then the last episode we had, I said, well, I guess that's not going to happen because it hasn't happened yet. And then today they tweeted, yep, yeah, Josh Pollard is wrong. We are doing the ultimate game sale. And it starts, you're probably listening on the day that it started. It's July 19th through the 30th, so you'll have plenty of time to go in and empty your wallet as you pick up lots of deeply discounted games for your Xbox. They're also doing one extra little contest here. Basically, the idea is post a picture of you looking like a game character to Instagram and all this other stuff. Obviously, look at all the rules for the details. And you could win a trip out to Seattle for PAX West, which is probably the video game conference to go to for normal people. Like CES up until the last couple of years has been a press only event. And so in the US, the only big time video game conference that you've been able to go to as a non-media person has been PAX. And this one is called PAX Prime because it's where it started and it's the biggest one. So you could win a trip out to Seattle for that, which is cool. So that's the ultimate game sale coming July 19th. And, normally when you're on either end of a big sale, the this week's deals with gold and spotlight sale tend to be pretty terrible. That's not quite the case this week. It's better than it was last week. I have two titles to recommend. First one, Marvel Ultimate Alliance. This is like a re-release. I think it was a 360 game. They re-released it on Xbox One as, well, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 1 and 2. And a bundle. And basically when it came out, everyone said, this is great. It's just way more expensive than it should be. So here you go. You can get the bundle at 75% off, which makes it $15 for both games. That's a pretty sweet deal if you're into those games. And then the other one is Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. So the most recent Garden Warfare game. They have the standard version for $5 and the deluxe edition for $6.25. This is a first-person shooter you can play with your kids. It's super family-friendly, lots of fun. It's Plants vs. Zombies. So there you go. Those are the only two that I would recommend. And then just wait a couple of days for the ultimate game sale. And then probably whatever you want will be on sale. And then, of course, a quick recap of Games with Gold for July. All month long on Xbox One, Assault Android Cactus. I did a little bit more research on this game. It looks fun. It's like a co-op, twin stick, sort of shooter sort of thing. This looks like fun. I might have to get Joe DeStasio, my co-host on Story Players, to play it with me because it does look pretty fun. And then July 16th through August 15th, Death Squared, another co-op game. This time it's a puzzler, so not really my thing. And then for the rest of July, Splinter Cell Conviction is the Xbox 360 game that you can get, which is, of course, backward compatible. All right, that's it for our gaming news. And in fact, that's it for all of our news. So why don't we move on to what's going on in our entertainment centers?
All right. So one of the first things going on in my entertainment center is more audio news, which is that Sonos devices now support AirPlay. Finally! This took, I don't know, how many years has Sonos been around now?
Six?
Way too seven? Many years.
Right.
Actually, 11 years, I think. I think they've been around for a very long time.
Well, but has AirPlay been around that long?
That's a good question. I don't know. But this is something that many, 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 many Sonos owners have been asking for, and finally we have a good built-in solution. Now, The problem is the solution is only going to work on some Sonos speakers.
What?
So, right, it's not backward compatible with all of their old speakers. So the old Play 1, the old Play 5, the old Play 3, the Kinect amp, pretty much everything I had in my house. None of those are compatible with AirPlay 2. And that's what it's using. It's using the new AirPlay 2 technology that Apple just released about a week and a half ago. The newer Play 5, the new Beam bar that they have, the Play Bass that you can put under your television, and the new Play 1. Actually, it's not called a Play 1. It's called the Sonos 1, because that's not confusing.
Right. No, not at all.
Those are all compatible with this. So I had to get a device that was compatible with this, right? I had to. I didn't have a choice.
No, you didn't have to. You didn't have to get one. You had to replace all of them. That's what you did, right?
I didn't do that. I bought two devices a while ago, actually, and I think I mentioned this in an earlier episode. I bought a Sonos One, and I figured that would be kind of like the gateway drug to support the AirPlay. And I had that in a room, and it was fine. And then once it was available and I saw how easy and nice it was, I'm like, oh, I need this in my office. I totally need this in my office. And I don't want to replace both of my office speakers because I had two Play Ones. So instead, I bought a new Play 5 for my office.
Whoa. Nice.
And it sounds really nice. And people were saying, well, you know, your separation isn't going to be as good. I'm not convinced of that because I didn't really have them all that far away from each other. They both rested on like either end of my credenza that's behind me now. And so now I just have to play one on top of that. And it sounds just as good. The separation sounds just as good because it has sideways firing tweeters. So I'm really, really happy with how this is working. I'm having some problems with my group speakers now since I've been using the AirPlay stuff, and Sonos has been great helping me out trying to solve that problem. I've made a couple changes, so we'll see how that works. Here's the thing. If you have one of these new devices and you AirPlay stream something to it, then any old device that you have grouped with your new device will also play that AirPlayed content. So what I did with that old Sonos One was all of my house speakers, speakers that I have in the sunroom, speakers that I have in the kitchen, in the ceiling, and in the dining room, and in the ceiling, and in, I think, one of our bathrooms in the ceiling, all of those speakers are all powered through a Sonos Connect that I have in my attic. And then I had a couple just random Sonos speakers around the house that were also grouped with that. None of them were compatible with this. So what I did is I took the new Sonos One, put it in the laundry room, and now I have audio in the laundry room, which I've wanted, actually. And now if I AirPlay anything to that, then it plays everywhere in the house because I grouped it with all of the other speakers that were through the house. So I'm really happy with this. I am so excited that this is finally here. And if their whole point of it not being compatible with the older devices was to make you buy new devices, congratulations, Sonos, it worked. It totally worked.
Yeah, I mean, it worked so well. You went out and bought, I think, their second most expensive device.
Yeah. Although I bought an open box. So, like, I was like, I can't pay the full price for this. I can't bring myself to do it. So
yeah.
I bought an open box unit that I found at a nearby Best Buy. I had to drive further to get it, but I'm sure I didn't spend that much in gas to get there. All right. So also on the hardware front, this is my exit moment, Josh.
I'm thinking
I'm going to repurpose my Media Center PC.
What? What does that even mean?
That means it has been sitting in my entertainment center, not being used except for the random night that I tried to use it a couple weeks ago. and it's not really doing me any good there. It's consuming power. And really the only purpose it serves right now is that it shares a local Drobo drive with the network. Well, I could put that drive anywhere.
Right.
So it really is useless for me to be using the energy for this thing to not doing anything. And I think I'm just going to end up basically wiping it and make it a Windows 10 PC and put it in Edward's office. Because his PC is just an old piece of crap. I think we're done. It's the end of an era for me.
Mine's been sitting in the basement for over a year doing nothing. It's not plugged in. It's just sitting in the basement.
Oh, it's sad. It's very sad.
Yeah.
All right. Well, meanwhile, I am still watching content because I still do record content. And I watched what turned out to be the season and series finale, because it didn't get renewed for Designated Survivor, the end of season 2, which kind of sucked because it left you with a little bit of a hangover. Yeah, that too. A little bit of a cliffhanger. So, I understand why it didn't get renewed, because it kind of lost the steam. There's only so much you can do with the premise of some guy replaces everybody because everybody's gone. Okay, now you fixed that. Right. Now what? Now it's just another White House drama.
Yeah.
So, Nashville is going to be ending, or has ended by now. I don't think it has, actually. I'm still getting new episodes, and I'm trying to keep up with that. I'm about 2 episodes behind on that. I think 3 or 4 episodes until the end of that series. So, they did a pretty good job of keeping things alive when they moved it over to CMT. So I've been pretty happy with that. As I mentioned, watching Big Brother, and oh man, last week was such sweet justice. When you get the annoying pain in the butt out of the house, I love it. This is how Big Brother should be played. Really good, huge, big move that I didn't think was really going to happen, and it was just incredibly well played. Also watched some movies. I watched Call Me By Your Name, which had a lot of accolades from this past con. Saturday the 14th, which is like a 35 or some year old spoof movie a la, you know, the likes of Airplane and stuff like that. And it was from that general time. Man, that did not hold up. And but I watched it because it was Saturday the 14th, right? So, you know, it was free on Amazon. I didn't pay anything. And Dunkirk is on HBO right now. And I had never seen this movie, and I can't believe that I hadn't seen this movie yet. Damn, this is a good movie. Did you see this?
No, I haven't seen it either.
Well, this is going to be on my server soon, because I like it so much that I bought it, and there was a Prime Day special to get it on UHD for $15. So I loved this movie, so much so that I ended up watching the last half of it again last night.
Wow.
And I've just been playing the hell out of the soundtrack, which is Hans Zimmer. And it's kind of like, you know, Christopher Nolan and Hans Zimmer is like the perfect combination for just that, like that amazing movie experience.
Mm-hmm.
So highly, highly, highly recommend this film.
Awesome. Did you buy The Matrix on 4K UHD?
I did not. No, okay. I have it on, I actually upgraded from my discs of the individual movies to the Blu-ray collection not that long ago.
Mm.
So I just couldn't bring myself to upgrade it again.
Yeah. Jen bought it for me for Father's Day, because I think it came out 2 or 3 weeks before Father's Day or something like that. But it's Amazon Prime, so she didn't order it until around Father's Day and thought it would be fine. I still don't have it.
No way. They
like sold out. Yeah, I still don't have it. It's like I checked her Amazon profile the other day, and it said, which maybe I shouldn't say too loudly, and it said that I probably wouldn't get it until like mid-August at this point. So no 4K Matrix for me for a little while.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, but I did actually watch one episode of one thing this weekend, probably only because I spent a whole bunch of time on Saturday mulching around my entire house, and maybe not the best thing to do when you have back issues, because my back was really hurting when I was done. And if I just have to lay in bed for a half an hour with an ice pack on my back, I might as well watch TV. So I finally finished up Mr. Robot season 3. Huh. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not really sure what to say. Like, it was really good. And the very last scene, I was like, wait, what? I don't know what's happening here.
Right.
So yeah, it's still really good. It's still really, really good. I don't think there's a show on right now that I like more than Mr. Robot. So yeah, I just can't believe it took me this long to watch it all. So this next season, which I'm not even sure when the next season starts, I'll try and do better at.
Yeah. And you know, Rami Malek is playing Freddie Mercury in the upcoming movie about Queen.
Right. Yeah. I think that's probably going to be pretty good. He's turned out to be quite the little actor. So.
Oh yeah. He's a very good actor.
Can he sing though? Cause singing like Freddie Mercury is not an easy thing. There are not many people that can pull that off. So maybe he just won't. Maybe they'll have somebody else do that for him. Anyway, on the gaming front, I've just been playing through Horizon Zero Dawn on the PlayStation 4. I'm only, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 hours in. Still really like that game, and still playing NHL, of course, when I have time. But that's it for me. Not really a whole lot else going on here.
Before we get out of here, I just want to let people know that I had mentioned that I was going to talk about my experience when I was down at Cape Canaveral on an upcoming episode of the Ritual Misery podcast. And that was this most recent episode that came out this week. So if you're interested in checking that out, it's episode 180 of the Ritual Misery podcast. And we'll have a link in the show notes to that.
Cool. Let's just jump into the wrap up. If you want to find all of our contact info, just head on over to the Digital Media Zone. But we really like Twitter. So if you want to find us on Twitter, Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at Digi Media Zone. We're also on Facebook. Richard, you have another podcast. It's called Home On. What is going on with Home On?
I know. The summer is going on. And, you know, I've actually been working and all. So I'm telling you. No, I finally have the episode in the hopper now. This is an episode where I interview 4 different companies at Light Fair and then kind of wrap that up with other lighting and lighting control news, because there's been a lot going on, actually. So I have all of that, and I think it turned out to be a really good episode. And, of course, still promoting the summer giveaway, that if you have a story that you can share with us about your favorite or most humorous digital assistant fail, then we want to hear about it, because if we like it enough, you could win an Insteon hub. So send those in, and we'll let you know which one we think is our favorite. Now, how about story players? Didn't you have a new episode out recently too?
I think the most recent episode we actually mentioned last week, that was episode 27 on the awesome adventures of Captain Spirit. That is, we're calling that the final episode of season 2 of Story Players. So we're going to take a couple months off while we plan the next few games that we're going to be playing, probably start recording some episodes if we're going to do another long season. So if you've got some games that you want us to be playing for season 3 of Story Players, then let us know. And we'll be back. Well, we don't have it planned exactly, but there's a new Life is Strange game coming out in September, so it's not going to be any later than September, I can tell you that for sure, which may sound like a long ways away, but it's not really. We're really burning through this summer. So, yeah. But Entertainment 2.0 rolls on every single week, and we do this show live. You can join us in the chat room, see us, not just hear us, but see us as we record the show and participate along with it Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, or follow us on Twitter to know for sure, because it's not always that day, when that live show is going to happen. All right, well, that is going to do it for episode 453. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.